All right, how we doing, everybody? This is AJ Torres calling strikes, courtesy of Undrafted Sports. And today we got the guest from Friar Talk. We got Chase. So I gotta tell you, man, and I've kind of asked Matt this lately, but growing up, how was it like being a Padres fan, especially with the Giant Dynasty and the Dodger bandwagon ever since what, 2006 or something like that? The mid-2000s, there was this big bandwagon reign.
It was pretty rough. I mean, growing up in Southern California, everybody's either a Dodgers or a Giants fan. You go around, you don't really see anything Padres related. They're just kind of like the stepchild. Oh, California has five baseball teams if you want to include the Padres. Like,
Very true.
you're just kind of like, hey, you know what? We're kind of the farm system. Yeah, we're kind of the farm system for the rest of California or every other Major League Baseball team until as of recently. You'd go to a game and you're like, yeah, cheap tickets, nice weather. Maybe we'll scratch out a win with good pitching, but there wouldn't be much offense.
Yeah, if I remember, the biggest contract, I mean, Jake Peavy, everyone was happy about, and he took a real hometown discount. But then it's just like Will Myers, everyone's like, eh. That ended up being Haas, and then ended up being Manny, and now Tatis. I mean, I discussed with Matt, and I saw Ronald Acuna Jr.'s contract, and I'm like, listen, anything could happen. My bottom dollar with Tatis, just because he didn't even play a full season's worth of games, he only played like 100 and what, 20, 130 games. I'm like, give the guy 200 million for 10 years and he can't say no, but they offered him like double of that.
Yeah, I was really hoping they'd get away with an Acuna type contract because I'm like, man, you'd have 10 years of control for what was it, like 100 something million. You're like, oh, that is perfect amount. He's still somewhat unproven. You can say he's a little
Yes.
bit of a defensive liability at times. And you know what? He has played all those games. So you know what? Even if he doesn't play all those games and he's still a little injury prone, you still have the most electric player in baseball when healthy, and he's probably worth that $150 to $200 million on that 10-year deal. That didn't happen, but you know what? I'm just glad he's going to be a Padre for life.
I was hoping for too hard. I'm like, Matt, go 200 million 10 years. And the thing is, right? Ronald Acuna Jr. in 3 years could fall off the face of the earth, God forbid, and it's still well worth the contract. Tatis has to play good at least 10 years in order to be worth it. And Matt was like, where are they going to get the money for this? They're paying Haas, they're paying Myers. I mean, they're paying Manny. Where the hell is this team gonna go broke? Like, if you go towards like other stadiums, they don't have like a big beer sponsor on the wall, you know, things like that. So it's like, where do they get the revenue from?
Yeah, especially considering that they never really spent money until these recent years. From what I understand, Oz's contract is very front loaded. So these next few years are paying like 7 million less than him. I think Myers is front loaded too. Machado's is back loaded. So we're not paying him as much right now. And then I don't know the full details on Tatis's contract, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be back loaded too to try to, gap some years or we're not paying. Maybe we can either extend or sign some guys, or hopefully, these prospects actually really pan out really well. Because being a Padres fan, you know the farm system pretty well because there were some years where the major league talent wasn't there.
I could look that up right now. Let's see. Full no trade clause through 2028. A no trade clause allows him to block deals to 13 teams, although it could always go through his approval. $10 million sign-in bonus, hotel suite on all road trips, a right to purchase premium luxury suite, and four of the best premium tickets for Padre home games. So if we go by the basic compensation, next year it's $5 million. 2023 7, 2024 11. The next 2 years after that, 25 and 26 is 20, 27, 28, 25, 29 to 34 is 36 million. Although I think it's got to be like Albert Pujols at the end.
Yeah, you know what? But let's just hope there's a DH by that time, because watching 34-year-old Tatis at shortstop might not be the most glorious thing to witness.
To be completely honest with you, especially since this year the Union's going to have to go for it again. And I talked to Anthony Kay over at Undrafted and Sports Fluent, and he goes, "Do you think there's ever going to be a strike?" And I'm like, "No way. There's too much riding on this for everybody. Everyone wants to get paid. Everyone wants to do this. And if you're a guy like Gerrit Cole, Trevor Bauer, David Price, Tatis, I mean, if there's a strike, you're not getting paid. So nobody, no matter how little you make or how much you make, nobody wants this strike on any or either side. But I think there's going to be a couple of ways to go through it. This year, they're going to have to go through the pitcher inspection thing, which I'll get to that in a moment. And I think within the next, it could be this year, but I'm predicting within the next 3 years, we're going to see a National League DH.
Yeah, I'm hoping it happens this offseason. I think it will. They brought it up. Yeah. And then you look at it and you're like, wow, it's kind of just a guaranteed out. I used to be a big fan of, hey, no DH in the NL, but since it came last year, I changed my mind. Having 9 hitters, it makes life better. Just if I have to watch Lamet swing a bat and strike out, or watch one of our relief pitchers hit in place, it's just almost a guaranteed out. And plus, with the way that they've changed the pitching rules throughout the years, away from the strategy that used to be. Now you throw a relief pitcher out there, they got to face 3 batters. You can't have no lefty specialists anymore. It's taken a lot of strategy out of the game. So having a DH there just sort of advances the game to where, I guess, Manfred wants it now.
The way I actually thought about it, and mind you, you do realize that the Rays and the Brewers kind of blew it for the 3-batter rule. You know, Wade Miley, the fake starting pitcher or whatever. But I actually think that the rule should be 2. Instead of 3, make it 2. I think that's fair for everybody and in all accounts.
Yeah.
So 2 batters are finished the inning. And I was actually pissed at Chase Tingler last year, because I'm like, dude, how come you got to have guys, if he's going to come out and start the inning again and then you're going to put in our relief pitcher, how come you can't give him a clean inning? Like, why do you got to do that?
Yeah, they're playing numbers. It's hard to say because we don't have all the data in front of us that they do on batters, or, hey, this guy's second time around with, or coming out onto the mound for the second inning, he can pump, but some can't. Sometimes they just need a little bit extra warming up time in the bullpen. It was a quick inning for the bats, and he just needs to go out there and slow it down so that the other guy can stretch out properly. There's a lot of things that could go into that, but sometimes it's just like, okay, cool, he faced 1 batter, and then they pull him because Chase Tingler. Sometimes you can't explain it.
Exactly, and he was receiving a lot of heat. And another thing about the DH rule, too, the last couple of years, if you think about it, right, you hope that you start off with, like, your 7th hitter, right? Because guess what? You got your 7th hitter, at the time, Hedges, and then a pitcher.
Ouch. Yeah, it was.
That's an ouch. That's basically an average of 1.8 outs.
I think Hedges was almost a guaranteed out. If I remember right, he hit like 1.7.
He's like a career. Which was, I think,
some of our pitchers now are doing hitting better than Hedges would be.
Yeah.
Or even right now.
Yeah.
It was bad. I remember like his first year, I think he started off like 0 for 24 before he got his first major league hit.
Yeah. And at that point, by the time that he was traded, I mean, he called a great game, but I mean, you know who he was. The only thing that kind of sucked was I was a big believer in Cal Quantrill.
I was too. I'm sad to see him go. I hope the Indians use him well. He can fit a lot of different roles down there. He can be a starter if they want, a long reliever and a closer. So I'm hoping he thrives out there. Same thing with Josh Naylor. I was a huge Josh Naylor fan. I think he's going to do well. And same thing with Franmil Reyes. All 3 of them, I wanted them to be future Padres for like the long term. But it doesn't work like that. And you know what? Hoping them the best.
All right. So here's one for you. As of right now, where do you rank Tatis as a shortstop? As a whole.
The Padre fan in me wants to say number one, but I'm going to say top three because Bogarts has been red hot and with the Red Sox.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, there's like C. Lindor that they catch fire at any time, and they probably play a little bit better of a shortstop position.
I can't go Lindor this year. I can't.
And just going based off track record, he's known as to be a gold glove caliber shortstop.
If we go by this season and who's playing right now, I can't go Lindor because the first 2 months of the season, if that guy fell out of a boat, he can't hit the friggin' water. It was terrible.
Yeah,
the fact that this guy's going to be here for 10 years and you're already booing him out the ballpark.
He has had the last 2 weeks he's been hitting over 300. So he's starting to turn around from what I remember. I can't say Baez just because there's so much swing and miss this game. And sure, he will be an electric player. But on the defensive-wise, he's probably the same as Tatis. He'll not have errors, but he'll also make a lot of flashy plays when you need him to. But he's just not there on the same batting-wise. Tatis is, you know, just something else when he needs to be. We saw him when he first came back against the Dodgers. He hit 5 home runs in, what was it, 3 games at Dodger Stadium? When you have a guy that can do that, you got to put him top three.
Tell you what, right now, especially since if you go by the time he's missed, if you look at his offensive stats, I compare him to Derek Jeter just because there's a lot of people will tell you that Derek Jeter is the most overrated shortstop of all time. But if you look at it, right, look at the early championships, look at the time or, you know, the people he dated. There was a time where you put him, his name out on the New York Times or, you know, Channel 5 News. Guess what? Most of the planet knows his name. If there's a TV buy, you know the guy's name. You know who Derek Jeter is. Is he good defensively? Yes. Is he the best? He never was. There's always somebody better offensively at time for a couple years, but over the consistent basis of a long time, he, I think, is one of the best of all time. I mean, I say that as a Yankee fan, but still. But right now, I put Tatis at number 2 behind Bogarts, and I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's probably who I would have had him behind.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because, I mean, I don't like the All-Star voting, especially since I know how many fans and how many people voted versus how many people vote X amount of times. Like, if you look at the American League ballot right now, Buxton's voted in, but because of his broken hand, he's not going to be playing. Trout's been on the injured list for a while. And then it's like the third, you know, by outfield. Nothing should go left field, center field, right field, like it used to. The only guy who's actually started in the outfield is Aaron Judge. He's third in voting.
Yeah.
Which I was actually surprised.
You remember the 1 year, I think it was 2016, the NL was like all Cubs. The entire infield was all Cubs. Addison Russell was getting like 220. This is why I don't like fan voting. Because sure, you some smaller teams a chance to finally get one of their guys in if they like focus all of their might into one player. But when you get into the bigger fan bases like the Cubs when they were on their World Series run, they dominated everything. It was all Cubs players, and most of them, I wouldn't say most of them, but half of them probably didn't deserve it.
Actually, it reminds me because there was a time a couple of years ago, Kansas City is more of a football town than a baseball town, but they dominated all the votes in every category, and their second baseman was hidden like 200.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how many burner accounts do you have, buddy?
Yeah. Starting to get into players that don't really deserve it, then you're like, oh, these guys got snubbed. I'm like, they didn't really get snubbed. It's just there's a bigger fan base for this guy, apparently.
I will say, though, I voted in 2 Yankees. I voted in 1 Blue Jay. I voted in 2 Red Sox.
I I'm guessing that Blue Jay was Guerrero Jr.
Yes, the Blue Jay was Guerrero. The Red Sox were Verdugo and Bogarts. The Yankees I voted in before he got cold. It was Gio Urshela and Judge, just simply because I thought those were the only ones that deserved it. LeMahieu didn't deserve it. Gleyber didn't deserve it. Luke Voit hurt.
Yeah. Then how do you feel about Gary Sanchez? I personally don't like him as a catcher. I think you guys could upgrade at that position.
You know, it kind of goes like this now, and I'm not sure what's left on his contract or anything else. I don't think it's too much now. As far as the catcher situation goes, I do miss Austin Romine. I said that multiple times, and listen, I know what Higgy, he calls a great game behind the plate, but it's just every time he gets up at the plate, I know he's trying to hit the wall. It doesn't matter how high or how far away, he wants that ball to hit the wall every single time, where if it hits it, gets close to it, goes over it. I know his swing. Gary has gotten better, and there was actually a controversial decision on Aaron Boone's side because Gary Sanchez was the hottest hitter, and he benched him, gave Higgy the start behind the dish. But, I mean, if you're already giving rest days to Giancarlo Stanton, put Gary at DH. What the hell? It's been infuriating. And listen, the Yankee fans this year, I'll say that as a Yankee fan, have been like the Philadelphia fans before they won the Super Bowl, and that is they're booing more than they're cheering. The only reason why the Yankee fans this year are pissed, bitching, and moaning is because they had a taste of 100 games 2 years in a row, then the COVID year. Guess what? The ball changed. We got pitchers with sticky substances, and sure enough, inconsistencies. And the standards aren't where they were set. You set the bar too goddamn high. They're lower than where you want them to be. And now you're upset and you're taking it out on everybody. Shame on you.
Yeah, I can understand that because I know we were really hard on the Padres for like that 1-2 week stretch. And you still look at the standings and we have the third best record in the NL. And we're like, wow, we were really hard on them, but if you look at it, they're still that really good baseball team that we know and love.
Oh, yeah.
And I know the Yankees are still right there. It's just sometimes your guys get injured, and sometimes you can't replace those guys. Like Judge and Stanton, I know it seems like Stanton would get back last year, and then he'd get hurt like in the game right after. Judge, too. It's just when you lose guys, it's hard to fill those roles again.
Oh, yeah, and especially since Judge defensively is underrated. I mean, they know he's got an arm, but defensively they don't think he's just great. But it's like if there's a base hit off the wall and he's got the ball in his hand and you're run for second, there's a good chance you're dead.
Yeah.
Particularly at home. But we shall see about that. It's just crazy. But this division is just crazy that you're playing in, man. Like, everyone's just kind of like, hey, are the Mets and the Braves going to make the playoffs? And I'm like, it's one or the other. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I've said this for over a month now. The National League West Division winner, it's a toss-up between those three. And then the two wild card spots are the second and third place in that division.
Yeah, that's starting what it looks like. I think that the Giants are going to slowly fall from their reign in first place. Yeah, it doesn't look like that anymore. I was completely wrong about the Giants. They're a legitimate contender this year, and it's kind of terrifying to think about.
Yeah. I mean, between Buster Posey becoming an all-star again, Mike Talkman having one of the best I hated the move just because I'm like, hold on, why are we having a mediocre lefty specialist for an outfielder who's going to be playing center once Aaron Hicks gets hurt again? Sure enough, hey! And everyone ripped me and wants, breathed down my neck. But sure enough, look at his production. The pain. The pain, Chase.
Yeah. You know what? It seems like everybody that was once an all-star, was it 5 years ago for the Giants, 6 years ago for the Giants, they're getting into that second of their career where they're like, you know what? I learned how to play baseball this way, and I'm going to be an all-star doing it this way. They may not hit for the most power, yes. But dude, they've kickstarted their careers again, and it's scary to see.
Very scary to see. So that's just kind of my prediction. I don't have a first, second, and third for the division. I just know that in my opinion, at least, I think all three of those teams are making the playoffs. And then if you didn't know, the wild card round is a 3-game set now.
You know what? I'm okay with that. I'm actually more comfortable with that because I don't know if the Padres are going to win the division or get tossed in that wild card spot with either the Giants or Dodgers. It's just one of those things where I never feel safe with a 1-game series in the wild cards because, like, you either get the Dodgers, you get the Giants, and if somehow one of those two fall from wherever they are, you'd end up getting the Mets. You know how good it is. It's just not a fair matchup for 1 game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, apparently what sneaked in through the cracks with the arrangement this year is it's a 3-game set for the wild card.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little bit better, but could you just imagine if the Giants sneak by, win a division, and then to kick off the playoffs, it's a Dodger Padre best out of three?
No, but then I feel like whoever wins that wild card series will probably go off to win the World Series because that would be like the highest caliber of playoff baseball. That's what everybody wants. And those two teams have started to have a rivalry that would be compared to what would be like the Red Sox and Yankees. It's such a heated rivalry that whoever comes out of that series will probably just bruise their ways through the playoffs because they already faced probably their hardest division rivals. Just rivalry games live up to a hype that other games wouldn't, and I think that's going to be one of those games.
I actually thought it was Dodgers and Diamondbacks at one point because those couple of years where Puig was there and he got into a couple of fights, you know, I thought that was a good new rival to come around. But, I mean, there's a lot of good ones, but the fact that the Padres basically got together and they learned that there are no pushovers. And then you got the Dodgers that have been trying to buy a championship since 2008, so it seems. Maybe like 2006, 2007, but a while now. They've been trying to buy these championships every year for well over a decade. And what do you have to show for it? A Mickey Mouse title. Did get cheated by the Astros, but so far you got a Mickey Mouse title on your resume. In a ballpark that is the best pitcher's ballpark I've ever seen.
Yeah, I haven't been to Dodger Stadium yet. I know Petco is considered a very pitcher-friendly park, and it was.
I was referring to the Ranger Stadium that they just built.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Those walls are freaking huge, man. Like, direct left to right center. I mean, the fact that those walls are 4'10", and then dead center is 4'07", I mean, you can't have proper home run balls there unless it's the deep right corner. Yeah. I mean, it made no sense because that team is built with power hitters, but yet you expect them to what? Are you trying to make sure that they find outfield grass? Like, what are you doing?
I know each number has like a specific reason for being the length that they are. I know it has to go do with like the corresponding jersey numbers and amount of hits. It has like historical meaning behind it, but
dumb.
You got to make it so that there's going to be some exciting baseball games that your hitters can actually hit out of the park. And because I remember every time I go there, I'm just like, we're not going to hit home runs. We might struggle offensively because the Padres rely on the long ball. I hate that stadium.
You hate Petco?
Not Petco, but the Ranger Stadium.
Oh, yeah. But it's actually kind of funny, too, because I remember when the Padres, they were putting, like, middle infielders in left field, and I'm like, that's the biggest left field I've seen in a long time. Like you bridge the gap of like, listen, where you hit the where the steel building is and all that, it's just seeing left field and all the grass got cover until the center fielder's got his room. That's huge. I'm like, why are you putting a shortstop or a second baseman to put there? Like when you put Jorge, like when you put Mateo out there, I'm like, the guys are gonna die. Why?
Yeah. It's like when they put Machado in right field too. It's just like, hey, sometimes they need to cover that extra ground. I don't like the extreme shifts, but it's become a part of the game and sometimes they work out better. But other times I've seen it where, oh, Machado's in that shift. There's one ripped over his head. The right fielder's playing center field and now it's a triple because it hit the wall and Machado's not fast enough for the outfield.
Now, the way that I kind of put it, and it comes down to arm strength. The way that I would do it is you put the right fielder, but you have him shift over diagonally about 15 feet. You put Machado dead in the middle. It's kind of like when you roll a die and you see the five on there. You got these guys in like an X pattern. So it's like, okay,
Oh,
you got
okay.
your shortstop. I mean, there's some guys that want to ban it, and I found a good way how to limit the shift instead of ban it. But I'm just like, okay, between the shortstop who's playing second base, the third baseman playing the line, center fielder where he is, right fielder diagonally over, put Machado right dead center there. If it
All
goes
right.
over his head, the right fielder is over there, and you got a cutoff man. Who cares? It's not a double down the line. Unless he's really fast, he's not making it. But the way that I've always said to ban this shift or limit this shift is the center fielder could do whatever he wants to make it fair. If you're on the right side of the base, meaning if you're first, second, or the right fielder, before contact or before the pitch, you can't go over across the base. So the right fielder
Right.
can't go over to left or center field, whatever. Vice versa with the third baseman, shortstop, and left fielder can't go to the other side of the base before the pitch. And I think that would keep everybody happy. It's like, hey, you want to move your center fielder, for a fifth infielder? Go for it. You want to move over a little bit? You want the left fielder to go over here? But again, so many people hit into it, and a lot of people are worried about making the game faster. So, I mean, I think they need to leave the game alone to a point. Certain things I'm optimistic with, but I don't know. The consistency the last 10 years has just been bad, from the baseball to rule changes. I mean, is the commissioner even friendly at this point anymore?
I haven't been a fan of Manfred for years and kind of hoping
Same.
somebody takes the job just because he's very inconsistent. He hasn't given the world like everything they need to know. They were trying to hide the fact that they juiced the baseballs, then after, oh my God, yeah, we changed the baseballs, but now we're changing them back, and now it's too much in the pitcher's favor. Now the way he's dealing with the sticky substances isn't great. The whole thing with the DH and extended playoffs hasn't been the most friendly to the fans or the players. It's the whole Astros situation and the cheating scandals within the different teams wasn't great. It's he hasn't
Well,
done
that
his
was the
job to
union. He could the union he can't do, which that cuts it off there. But everything else, you're right on the head. He denied about the changing of the baseball. It was leaked out by reporters. And the real reason why they actually, from what I heard, the reason why they wanted to extend the playoffs for the COVID year was to give everybody a chance. Now, I think a lot of people wasted prospect development time in that regard, particularly the Tigers. Casey Mize and all that. But the real reason being is if you got eight teams, right? You got 15 teams in every league, American League, National League. And just like basketball, you could be mediocre and still make the playoffs. You got some of these teams trying to win it all on a payroll that's over $200 million. What happens if this team is just in a still in the rebuild? And they just accidentally make the seventh or eighth seed, and now they're in the playoffs, and now they get revenue. It's not fair to everybody else that's trying. Now, granted, I think that you got hire the right coaches, get the right guys involved, make sure guys are healthy, all that. But it's not fair for the other teams, and those teams aren't going to be buying free agents, re-signing their players, what they're worth, and all that. So they don't want that to conclude collude with it.
I think the perfect example of what you're saying right now is the Marlins, because they snuck their way into playoffs last year. If not, they were just right there. They were contenders. Now, this year, they're nowhere to be seen. They're last place, and they kind of show that they're still in the rebuilding phase. Sure, last year was a good year for them with the extended playoffs they made it in, but they're still that mediocre club that needs that development, and they probably got all that extra revenue for nothing because they're not going to sign any other players for long term. They traded away all their star players and they're still rebuilding, so it's just eh.
Now, I actually looked into that and it was a different regime. Now, Jeter's actually got a lot of heat. And listen, I was actually very disturbed because I will admit Jeter's my guy, but I had to take a different approach about this because, there's a lot of Yankee fans that go, oh, hey, 27 rings. Look at the guys that we have in Monument Park. It's like, okay, dude, Mantle's gone. Ruth is gone. Jeter owns the Marlins. Can you back off? How many rings have you had without Jeter or another core star? None. Right now we're in the modern time. Let's act like it. Don't be arrogant. So Jeter came in. He looks at the books and he goes, "This team is running at a loss." Dumping the Stanton contract was gr a great idea. It just was. Some of the prospects back from Yelich. Now, do I think he it wasn't worth it? Absolutely, because the team-friendly contract. But some of the prospects are coming around. Ozuna. Definitely worth it. But then it was just okay, the way he switched the ballpark around for a good, better experience. The center field sign is outside now. When you're under a different regime and you don't have a lot of assets, it's just so much different. It's different than the Royals who just switched ownerships and they still, I mean, there's still a rebuilding phase there because they let all their guys walk in free agency and they thought they could win it again one more time. The only guy that's left out of that is Salvi, which is kind of sad. So I think Jeter's got a couple years, but plus we know how Florida teams do with revenue.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But again, as far as teams making the playoffs, we didn't need eight. Do I think that? I mean, if we kind of do any more, like if we do it to six, it would just get complicated. Although in the National League, I think we'd be able to see both the Braves and the Mets play. I think that's what
Which
everyone wanted, along with the three West teams.
I think that would be a plus because then the NL would be very NL West dominated. And you'd probably want to see another team, NL East or NL Central, make it because then it'd probably make it a little more interesting and you'd probably get a little bit more revenue from other areas that aren't the western side of the country because some people would lose out and just be like, yeah, I'm not watching playoff baseball. My team isn't there.
I mean, I think that goes everywhere. Like I've heard of some World Series like be record low attendance, but I mean, if it's an election year, it's gonna be down, statistically proven. If it Kansas City, those years they were not that great. The Kansas City Royals and the Giants World Series was just not that great. There's a lot of factors. It depends on it. But the one thing is that I think everyone wants to talk about is they don't want extended playoffs to the point where there's 16 teams or over half of Major League Baseball in. But I think a lot of people are concerned about the wild card game. And if they went from five teams to six, I don't think I would be mad, would you?
No, I think that's pretty fair because then you'd have some teams that are right there, because sometimes you have to play that game 163 and kind of get rid of that unnecessary game because then both just. And so
Yeah.
then they're playing less games and probably less games at the end of the year right before playoffs is better because we saw it last year with the Pirates. Last year, they lost like three of their pitchers. And so just
Yeah.
anything to try to avoid injuries and already. Lengthened year with kind of the pitching enforcement rules that have been in place you're trying to limit as many injuries as you can going into playoffs, and I think adding one more team probably would help that a little bit more.
I will say, though, one of my favorite wild card games in recent memory was the year that the Royals lost the Giants in the World Series. They were playing the A's, and that was when they had Cespedes, they had John Lester. The A's went all in, and that was the last year they had Josh Donaldson. That was a great game.
Jared Dyson third and the ninth. Still watch the highlights sometimes. Beautiful game.
Absolutely. And also, a couple years ago, I mean, it came down to the Red Sox and the Yankees win over 100 games apiece, and everyone's just kind of like, this is so sad that they got to play a wild card game and they could lose this in one game. Now, granted, when it comes to the wild card game with the Twins and the Yankees, so far history says the Yankees go, who is your daddy? What does he do? Twins, wild card game, Yankees? I think every Twins fan needs to have themselves a drink, give some good heartburn medication, and go to sleep. It's terrible because this also included Luis Severino getting knocked out the first inning at one occasion.
Yeah, it's the Twins just haven't been lucky in playoffs. I'll say that. Just they've been really mediocre. Every time they're like, well, the Twins could do something with their pitching. Oh, my God, they hit the most home run in major leagues, have a good offense, and then – playoffs come and that is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and also it's going to be very interesting because I had them being fighting for the division with the White Sox. Holy hell, what happened there?
Hey, I knew the White Sox were going to win that division. They're a really good baseball team, and with that kind of revitalized Carlos Rodon, there's something to be messed with, even with Eloy Jimenez out.
Yeah, that's got to be very interesting. I mean, the American League, I mean, we kind of see the front runners now. The West, it could be anybody, but I'm assuming it's going to be between the A's and the Astros. It's just kind of how it's been the last couple of years because the other teams just don't got it.
Yeah, the Angels are missing too much pitching to be true contenders. Maybe they swing for a guy, but the Angels are just missing a couple pitchers. They're a couple pitchers away from being like
true. And Trout being hurt.
Well, even if Trout wasn't hurt, they'd still be floating around 500 because I just don't think their pitching staff can handle it.
I agree because if you go by the rotation pieces, they mean – they've been getting lucky with Ohtani and Bundy, but the last couple of years, and I've spoken to Jake Disher, he's been on the show a couple of times, and he's been so pissed off about these one-year try-it, high-risk or low-risk, high-reward kind of deal. But there was one year where they tried it, and sure enough, like $40 to $50 million went down the drain. Matt Harvey, them paying him like what, 1 year for $10 million, and I'll release him, and they're not even halfway through. These were, went over the salary cap budget for relief pitchers that didn't pan out either. I mean, it's been a mess. Something's in the water in Anaheim.
Which is kind of funny because isn't that where Spider Tech and everything started to come into place?
It's funny that you say that, and this is what I got. Now, we weren't determined what the substance was, but we do know that there has been some guys, Trevor Bauer's been linked to it, that there have been guys that have been hiring chemists to figure out what is the best substance available. I remember them, one of them was being take Coca-Cola, put it in a pan, and cook it in the pan until you have to scrape it out. So hard you gotta like scrape it out of the pan. And Spider Tech, if you didn't know, I've actually seen it on Amazon. It's actually pulled from the shelf on Amazon. Go to Google, put in Spider Tech, go to the shopping tab. You got Amazon saying unavailable at the moment. I honestly think MLB bought them out, man.
Probably. Then Though, did you see that whole story with the Angels employee fired and he started calling out a bunch of names saying these guys all bought illegal substances from me? He mentioned
Well,
coal, he
yeah,
meant.
and that's why Mad Max shouldn't be pissed because, like, dude, your name's been linked multiple times in multiple sources, and you know, when he takes the bell out of everything, he goes, "Come on, come on, come on," and come on, Girardi. They call him Mad Max for a reason. When he's pissed off and he's throwing fire, you're not touching him. The Phillies aren't hitting off him. I'm sorry.
I think the third time was a little excessive. I mean, that's probably
Oh,
why you got
yeah.
mad. Because you already get checked twice and you're like, okay, now you guys really don't have it. And then Girardi's like, no, check him again. I would probably be pretty mad too. Like, come on.
I would be pissed too. And listen, I've read the rules and it kind of goes like this. If these guys are somehow caught, it's 10 days with paid, so it doesn't co collude with the players' union. And also, it's going to suck because you're going to have a guy from the bullpen take two starts for him. And that's going to be terrible because you're just going to tax the bullpen for 2 weeks. But in doing so, a relief pitcher is going to be checked at least once a game and a starter at least twice a game. But when you do the full body cavity search, as I call it, and I've read the rules, I'm like, okay, you check the hat, you know, once, twice, okay. Did you see nothing on the jersey? You see nothing on the skin? You check the glove. And I've seen certain ways. I mean, you know, there's certain guys that are going, okay, check the belt. Or again, I've seen so many guys use the hat. I've seen sometimes where it's just like, hey, why does it look like a holograph, you know, player card? What do you got cooking up there, son?
Yeah. And then you usually see it like right here on the wrist or like right
Yeah.
here on the glove. You see a bunch of pitchers like slowly rubbing the web of their glove and you're like, what is he really doing right there? And so there's a lot of different ways. And you know, the pitching checks I'm okay with, but when you're starting here and you've already gotten checked twice, I really don't think there's a point in the manager asking the umpires to check him again. I feel like it's a waste
I
of time. If it comes up, I think there should be some repercussions on that manager's part because it feels like it's just delaying the game or just a waste
agree.
of time. Yeah.
I think they're going to have to put something in, and that's why I think they're going to finalize this rule in the off season. Now, originally, this was a rule that's been around since the beginning of time, well over 100 years. And listen, everybody used the ball until the game was over. So there's been a spitball, and that was used like 300 times a game. So at that point, it's just superstition. Then it came to pine tar, and then it's just like, my guy's using pine tar, your guy's using pine tar. You're going to shut up because I'm going to shut up. You know, it was a kind of like a moral agreement. But then it just
Yeah.
got too advanced. It got too carried out of the way. And, you know, there's a lot of guys complaining, but listen. When you abuse the leeway, eventually they're going to drop the hammer, and that's what they did, for better or for worse. Now, there's some guys that are saying, oh, I don't use SpireTac. Tyler Glasnow says, I like using sunscreen rosin. There's some guys that say that rosin doesn't work. There's guys saying, I'm sore. I mean, the way that Tyler Glasnow thinks his arm hurt, or, you know, he's got his UCL torn because of one start, I don't buy that at all. I think there could be a little medium, but also, listen, Tyler Glasnow hasn't got that big contract. Max, you got that deal, and you might have another small one coming. Gerrit Cole, you got your money. Shut up. Bauer, you're one of the most controversial figures in baseball, even though you got solid points. But again, he was the one I think that caused all of this. He's talking about, you know, Pelican dip, you know, the Coca-Cola in the bottle. You know what I mean? There's a lot of dirty hands in this one.
And Bauer, I think he was the first one to mention something about Cole. He goes, well, if I could figure out some way just to go to a random ball club and increase my spin rate by a couple hundred RPM, I don't know why everybody wouldn't do that when Cole first started to become dominant with the Astros. And my whole thing is, yeah, I do think we need something better than rosin. I think the MLB should take time and money to be like, okay, we're going to look at the different substances and how it affects spin, everything with the ball breaking and everything. And if they can find a substance that's better than rosin that doesn't increase spin rate too much or too little, and they should make that the new substance that pitchers can use on the mound, because then you'd take away from everybody trying to gain an edge with like Spider Tech and the Coca-Cola scrubbing.
Yes. Now, I have no idea how they're going to ban the sunscreen when it's going to be like in middle of July in a day game. I have no idea how they're gonna do that. It's like hold on, sunscreen, yeah, Neutrogena, yeah, powder, yeah, rosin, no, can you wash that off and then come back to the mound? That'd be great. but again, it's just abuse of power from some guys. Now, Mike Socha said this years ago, where he thinks that it should go to like Japan, where it's got a tacky, you know, finish to it. But if you look at the last couple of years, the last 7 years, there's been a new ball every year. And the pitchers say, hey, foul ball hits, he'll throw me another ball. It feels different than the other ball. So can we make the ball consistent? And then could we all just settle on an agreement? When you have something consistent, it's just less frustrating. Do I think this is making headlines everywhere and expanding the game? Yeah. But come on, for the players and everything else, let's get some consistency. Let's not go with what ifs for baseball. Let's go with the what if being like, why did he throw him a curveball in the dirt on a full count to walk the batter for the bases loaded? I'd rather go with that what if than what happens if he's got a consistent baseball. It's not like we could feel it. We can't see it on screen. Consistency.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this or not. Couple days ago, the Red Series against the Padres, Yu Darvish had personally bought a couple, or had his friends from Japan send him a couple of baseballs from the league. And he said that everyone across both ball clubs actually liked the baseballs because they were a little tackier.
Yeah. And that's why Socha brought up a couple of years ago. I want to say it was just like 5 years ago, but again, I think, plus MLB owns Rollins, that doesn't make it any easier. I just think that that's the future, and we just got to look into it. I have no idea what that substance is that makes it tacky. I have no idea what they do to the leather. I have no idea if the laces are down or a little bit more up. But, I mean, we got all these analytics. We got these scientists. We got all these guys that are in the industry that are graduating from the best schools in the world. We got research, and these people are not stupid, particularly these players that have been playing baseball for 20, 30, some of them even 40 years. And guess what? A lot of them went to college too. Nobody is stupid. They know what they're doing. Time to get some research and time to get it done.
Yeah. MLB just needs, or Manfred honestly just needs to do something about this situation that puts him in a positive light. If he doesn't handle this the wrong way, he's even going to lose more faith. And I think some people are going to call for a new commissioner more than they have already, because if he mishandles this, then I don't think there's any hope that he's going to handle another situation that could cause something like this, where there's such a dispute between players and officials, I guess you could say. Because if there's another spit like this, I'm pretty sure Manfred's gone, because he hasn't handled any situation well.
The only thing that has him going right now is because if you go by the purchases from MLB TV, the viewership, the ratings, right now it's at an all-time high. They expanded a lot during COVID. The unwritten rules are disappearing. A lot of the old grumpy people are disappearing, and they're open arms for a lot of new people. This is the only game that's not expanding. Like football, there's a lot of camps, players go out, stuff like that. Baseball, their money's already guaranteed, so they do what they do in the offseason. They're like, hey, man, I'm gone for X amount of days plus playoffs, so I'm doing it whatever I want. When we go down to it, I think that the viewership is definitely a good thing. It's opened up to a lot of everybody. It's been more diverse than it's been. That I think is keeping his job, because if we're going by expansion and money, he's doing a good job. But if we're going by morale, happiness, and vote of confidence, I guess you could say, there's a lot of people upset with him. There's been people upset with him for a long time. Ever since he reviewed Pete Rose's case, his first or second year as commissioner and denying him. Now, listen, it sucks because there's, again, a lot of guys that have dirty hands in the Hall of Fame, but it just sucks because I've had Brave fans go on here, right? And there is an incident involving Andrew Jones, and that's why a lot of voters didn't write him in. But I'm like, come on, people. You have guys that drink and, drink and drive in here. You have some guys that have had instances that have prison records. It's like one guy's got a DUI. Oh, no, because of moral sake, I can't vote him in. Come on. We know the story about Babe Ruth. You're getting drunk and swimming in a hotel fountain. Come on. That doesn't hold water.
Yeah. Though here is my only thing with MLB is and the MLB is there's a lot of blackout restrictions. Like for me, since I'm in Arizona, I can't buy MLB TV because it'd be a waste of money because the Padres are blacked out here. I can't watch any Padres games through the MLB app or TV. I have to find a streaming service that I can start because I'm blacked out, so buying MLB TV to me would be a waste of money.
That I actually wondered because it's like, I mean, I got DirecTV and I get the package, and the only time it's blacked out is when it's on another channel. It's like if it's like if you're on the West Coast and it says hey, Mets and Nationals, at a Citi Field or whatever, I might find it on Wix 11, which is home of the Mets. You know what I mean? It's just much different. But when you got an app or something like that, it's like there shouldn't be any blackout games. If you get rid of that, it's perfect.
Yeah, like I feel like MLB's revenue and everything would be so much greater if there were no blackouts on the app. Because for me, I have to stream the games because in Arizona, I don't have like a Fox Sports West or Bally Sports West that includes Padres games unless they're playing the Diamondbacks. Or like the only reason I can watch them right now is because they're on ESPN because it's a primetime game against the Dodgers.
That's
But
right.
other than
That's right.
that, they're all blacked out and I have to find a stream where I can actually watch the game. It kind of sucks.
How is Chase Field actually? Because I was doing a article for Undrafted, and the lowest I've seen the ballpark rank is 27th, and that's basically, bottom tier. And the highest I've had it ranked was number 5 because of if it's 100 degrees outside, the roof is closed, and it's air conditioned, it's a good place to be.
So I've been to like maybe five or six of them. I haven't been to all 30 yet, but I would rank it higher because the dome closing is really cool. I like the center field. The little pool is nice. They have a lot of food stands. It's air conditioned. Like when we walk in there, it feels so much nicer and you can enjoy the game more, not, oh my God, it's 100 degrees and it's humid out in Phoenix because it's just blistering hot over there and you can enjoy
I
the
agree.
game. Their little like specialty foods are really good. You can maybe like knock it down a little bit because there isn't really a good team to play there right now, so it's like kind of boring baseball, but all the little things that they do within the park still bring it up. I really enjoy this field.
That's what I was thinking. So, I mean, that's probably it's kind of discredited. And, I remember when I was a kid, and think about it. I live in Connecticut on the border of New York, and I remember them, winning the World Series, losing to my Yankees. And this is about a month after 9/11 happened. I remember watching it as a kid, and it's funny because I understand analytics and everything else have been the best thing the last 10, 11 years for every single team. But it seems a lot longer than 20 years since the Diamondbacks won a World Series. It
And
seems a lot
it
longer than that. There's some teams that are still shooting for it because they've never got it. But those 20 years seem a lot longer the way the team's going. It doesn't matter if you change the uniforms. It doesn't matter if you acquire this guy or trade off that guy. What are they? They are the captains of inconsistency.
Yeah, that they are. They tried it around with Mad Bum, and we saw how that first year went, and then...
That made no sense. You wanted to get rid of Greinke because of what? Prospects, cap space, and then what? You buy Mad Bum when he's on the decline? And you're still paying Greinke this year. And last year, like, what the hell are you doing? The direction there. Selling Upton, not worth it. Acquiring Shelby Miller, not worth it. Selling Greinke, signing Mad Bum. Where is the direction? This team is not young. It has the seventh best farm system, I believe. Or it's in the top 10, I believe. But still, if you look at the direction where this team needs to go, plus I think Escobar and Marte are sold at the deadline. Where's this team going to go?
Kettle Marte is a difficult topic just because he is such a good baseball player that he can be sold for a lot, but he's also one of those pieces that you can build around in hopes that if you promote some prospects right away and they develop into what they're supposed to be, you have a team that's knocking on contention. But at the same time, you're a few pitchers away from it because I love Merrill Kelly. He's a great pitcher. Luke Weaver's inconsistent.
And hurt.
He sold Robbie Ray, and he's hurt. Robbie Ray.
That was dumb to let him go, too. It was dumb.
You sell these guys that they're good for you, but at the same time, you just don't want to pay them. But then you go out and do something like Mad Bum. So, like you said, they're the king of inconsistencies.
And just, I mean, where's the plan? It's like we don't want to pay these guys. You just committed to a guy for 7 years. You essentially just married him. And for what? To eat your cap space and have him on the injured list? He's had one good game this year. And that was what? The second game of a doubleheader when everyone's exhausted? That barely counts. Mm-hmm. It's a Mickey Mouse start. That's what it is. I hate to say it that way. I love seeing him pitch in the playoffs, but come on. That's just what it is, and there's no way around it. But the rumor is Marte for a starting pitcher plus prospect. I mean, we shall see. I mean, he's linked to a couple of teams, the Yankees included. And who knows? Hopefully he's not the next A.J. Pollock where he's going to get signed for a big contract to be a platoon player.
I think I'm just hoping he goes out of the NL because anytime he plays the Padres, he absolutely kills them. He's a Padres killer, and I love to watch him play. But anytime he plays the Padres, I'm like, I feel like Ketel Marte is going to hit a home run here. Sure enough, it goes straight over center field, and we're losing. I'm like, yeah, well, it's Ketel Marte.
It's just kind of like, all right, turn the game on, pour myself a drink. Hey, who's betting? Ah, Marte's at the plate. Two runners on. Ah, hell.
I might as well down this drink, make myself feel a little bit better.
Bartender, this seems a little warm. Can I get another one just in case? Oh, man. So, honestly. Great. This has been just amazing, Chase. You got any last words, anything interesting coming up on Friar Talk? Anything else how you'd want to end this one?
No, just check out our channel if you haven't. If you want to check out our Twitter, it's Padres at Padres Pod. Go Padres. Hopefully they take the West. You know, it's going to be a very interesting season considering we have probably the best three teams in the NL fighting for one spot. So you know what? I'm just riding the wave and hoping it ends out well.
Is there any concerns right now you have about your team?
First base, Eric Hosmer. That's all I gotta say. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just watch a couple Padre games and look how Eric Hosmer plays. Then you'll understand how I feel.
Oh, I do. I do. Although offensively, he has been better than expectation. And mind you, the expectation was a lot lower than what he was getting paid for. But I think all is well. But again, the DH needs to be around just simply for Eric Hosmer for the Padres.
Yep.
And it's funny because me and Matt, we actually put together statistics. 2019, he had 22 home runs. Only one was against left-hand pitching.
That sounds about right.
And surprisingly, this year so far, I mean, I expect it to fall down a little bit, but against lefties, not too bad. And I remember there was a debate about what to do with Myers and Haas. And at the end of the day, when you got two guys totaling for about $40 million, plus this was the Padres before Tatis, and, you know, you got those two big contracts on a team, and I'm like, you're not platooning the two of your three most expensive guys in the team. You're just not doing it. With pleasure, there's plenty amount of pain.
I like Will Myers. I know he's a very streaky hitter. I will always be a Will Myers believer. He's starting to turn it around, so I'm hoping he continues that and has another career year like he did last year. But high hopes.
I got you on that one. Chase, thank you for being on, man. Hopefully we get to do a Friar Talk sometime soon, maybe when Matt gets back or so. I think it's going to be very interesting when it comes around the All-Star break and especially around the trade deadline. We'll see if they're actually active again, because last year I think the Padres blew everybody out of the water, and this year they might sneak up on us again.
I'm hoping to do so too. Yeah, hoping.
Who are you hoping for? A starting pitcher and our bullpen arm?
I kind of want a lefty bullpen arm, and I don't think we need a starter. I just want another outfielder just for insurance, because we saw with Grisham going down that we can't rely on our three outfielders.
On a consistent basis, no. Although, we shall see what's coming up, and I think the only other thing that I'm very concerned about is I'll take away the last Colorado start with Blake Snell because it's Colorado, but this is the only time I've seen a starting pitcher where at home he is a complete stud, but when he pitches away, you might as well not even put him on the damn plane. It's been the worst I've ever seen it. There's so many guys that could do that. You might as well, again, if Cal Quantrill was around, you have Blake Snell work out at the stadium, not go on the plane. You have Cal Quantrill make his starts. we shall see. I hope that Blake shuts me up on that, but to me, I think the ace on that staff is Yu Darvish and everybody else, although Musgrove is a solid number two.
Oh, 100%. Darvish is the ace. Musgrove's the number two, if not three, if Lamet's fully healthy. Darvish could be considered the five at this point.
Ah, man. So, Chase, thank you, and we will get back on this in our time. All right, brother? So, go Friars.
All right, man. All right. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take it easy.